Hey, sleepers, here we are. It's Scott Fishbowl time. I have George, Greg, and Fallon all here with me this week, and we're going to do a little recap of how all of our drafts went of the first round, anything that we saw that was interesting, that kind of stood out to us. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about the scoring, how it differs from last year's scoring format to this year's scoring format, and then we'll just see where the conversation takes us. Guys, how are we doing?
Personally, I'm doing fantastic. I just inked a 10-year, $503 million deal with SleeperWire. They've got me for the next 10 years. There's some incentives built in there. You know, I got to do a certain amount of podcasts every week. I got to write a certain amount of articles. I have to have a certain hit percentage on my picks. But it's all manageable. The guaranteed money is really what did it for me. I'm feeling great right now. You know, that just fantastic.
Second only behind Joe Rogan. I love
yes.
it.
Yes.
Did you? I heard you also signed an exclusive with Spotify. Everyone's just going away from YouTube now. I don't know what they did to make people upset, but it seems to be happening.
It's the ads.
Oh, that's right. It's the ads. We like that ad-free listening. Fallon, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited. My second year at Scott Fishbowl. I kicked ass last year, and I plan on doing the same this year.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm going to need your help again this year.
Yeah, I'll help you through the draft. I'll do it.
I'm going to need help with you hitting that accept trade button also in our Dynasty League. But we won't talk any more about that right now. And Greg?
I'm doing great. Excited for my first Scott Fishbowl year. Really excited for that. And I'm doing good otherwise.
Okay, I didn't realize that this was your first. This is a lot of people's first this year. That's a big deal. I think they had over 10,000 entries, 10,000 applicants to get in. So that's a big deal to be one of the 1,200. And if you can finish in the top 100, that's really doing something. So, Greg, do you want to talk about what the scoring is this year?
Absolutely. So it's 11 starters, super flex, 3 flex, 3 wide receiver, 2 running back, 1 tight end. So you get 6 points per touchdown for passing. Passing yards is normal, 25, you know, every 25 yards you get a point, yada, yada. Pass completions, you also get 0.5 points for each pass completion. That's definitely a little different. Interceptions, -1. Pass incompletions, -1. My bad. And then interceptions is -4. So you want really high accurate quarterbacks who don't throw picks. No Jameis Winston's here.
Yeah, I think what Scott did with that is he's rewarding efficiency for the quarterbacks is basically what he's doing there.
Yep. And then also get -2 for interceptions and thrown for a touchdown. So it's -6 total. Quarterbacks get sacked, -1. Passing 2-pointers, 2 points. And then that's all for quarterbacks.
Yeah, so last year we got big point bonuses for 50-yard and 100-yard games, and that was big for, you know, basically everyone, the wide receivers. It was really big for the running backs. And this year we have switched to a half point per reception, and then a half point for a first down, and then the tight ends get double that. They get a full point for a reception and a full point for the first down. So really, without the yardage bonuses and only doing a half point per reception, and just giving how the rest of this is in the first and the first downs, it's kind of devalued the wide receiver here, and it really has propped up the tight ends, and then a lot of these bell cow running backs that are getting a ton of touches and able to get a bunch of these first downs. So the scoring format is very unique here. And another thing is that since it's a super flex, and so traditionally you think, okay, I'm always going to want to start 2 quarterbacks. But the issue is that there's so many negatives for quarterbacks not performing well that you can have a quarterback that's in a normal league is getting you 12 to 15 points, And in this format, they might only get you 5 or 6 points given on the day. So you really have to take into account who they're going to be playing and what, you know, it's going to be very important, because it's not just, okay, I have a starting quarterback, I'm going to throw him in and forget it. You really have to take that into account, which we're going to talk about a little bit here, and why some of these quarterbacks are going even earlier than what they usually would in a super flex.
So that was my concern. I was not going too many quarterbacks, or going too early and grabbing quarterbacks like I usually do in Superflex, being like, well, I'll get more value to have a better positional player than a quarterback if I got one of those that, you know, gets sacked all the time or a lot of, you know, bad completion rate.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Hey, Lucas, can you explain a little bit what the Scott Fishbowl is, what's behind it and all that? I feel like we're talking about, you know, the scoring for this. We're going to go over, you know, how we've done so far, but there may be some people listening that have actually never heard of Scott Fish or the Scott Fish Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll hit on it a little bit, but I think you might be even better in touch with this, given that you also raise a fair amount of money for Toys for Tots. So I'm going to let you do a little humble bragging here. And I think that it's Scott Fish Bowl is a 1,200 team fan mix of fans and analysts that all come together to compete, and it's all for a good cause. Everyone donates their time, and there's a lot of donations that happen for this. And I believe it's Toys for Tots, right? That's what we're raising the money for, George.
Traditionally, the money goes for Toys for Tots. Anything that Scott gets for Toys for Tots donated for the Scott Fish Bowl will go to Toys for Tots, and it all goes to Fantasy Cares, and then Fantasy Cares will distribute that money across the United States, basically, for people to go shopping and buy toys and donate to Toys for Tots. This year, they are doing a 50-50 split. Anything that they raise this year is going, 50% of it will go to Toys for Tots. 50% of it will go to the Equal Justice Foundation, I believe. Or Equal Justice Initiative, excuse me. So, you know, with everything going on in the world right now and whatnot, all the hot button social issues that have been going on, they're contributing half of the money raised this year going towards Equal Justice Initiative as well as Toys for Tots.
Well, another really great charity and a philanthropic organization, and we're happy to be associated and happy to be helping in any way that we can raise money and awareness for this. And last year, I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 to $60,000. So if we can get close to that and maybe beat it a little bit, I know everyone will be thrilled with that. Was there anything else that you wanted to hit on with that, George?
Well, so far this year, they've raised, I believe the Potathon this year, it just ended at 8 o'clock. Shout outs to some of my old friends, Scott, Kevin, and Steve. They do a 24-hour podcast. They bring in literally all the heavy hitters of the industry. You know, Matthew Berry was on it, Adam Levitain, Mike Wright. I mean, it's basically who's who. They had people from NFL Network. They had a New York Jets wide receiver. Literally just all different types of people from all around the fantasy community were on this Spotathon. And I believe they raised a little over $30,000 for this Spotathon alone.
That's a great start. Great way to get kicked off.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, why don't we jump into a little bit of football talk here and kind of go over what we've seen so far. Fallon, would you like to start here? Do you want me to have Greg start with his division?
I'll start. My division is Jenga.
Okay.
What
pick are you?
I am number 10, which is perfect because it's Scott Fish Bowl X. So then I'm, you know, Roman numeral X. So I already know I'm going to win. Perfect.
So clearly the winner is going to come from the 10 spot. That just makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Go ahead and tell us anything that you thought was interesting from the first round. Anything
the
that jumped out at you.
The first round was basically the same across the board, where Lamar went first, Mahomes went third, CMC went second. You know, there was really no surprises. When it came up to me, I was torn. Do I want to go quarterback or do I want to go Kittle? It was either Dak or Kittle. And okay. I had to go with the tight end because of the premium. Because I figured, sure. You know, I can get a quarterback later. I was hoping I'd get Dak on the turn, but I didn't get him. So the first wide receiver was taken on the last pick with Davante Adams. That was kind of interesting. I've never seen a draft where the wide receiver goes all the way at the 1.12.
Yeah, and that kind of is a testament to, you know, there's a lot of people that do the research and a lot of really smart people that get in here, and the train of thought is the wide receiver, it's really the position with the least amount of interest, at least in the beginning rounds, because there is such a sharp fall off with the way that the quarterback scoring works, and there is such a premium for the elite tight ends and the good running backs that are going to be bell cows and getting all the touches and getting the first downs. Those guys are just going to be such a hot priority early on. So it is interesting to see the wide receivers going so late. George, I think that you said that you didn't have a wide receiver taken until late into the second round.
That is correct. So my draft started out basically like everybody else's. So the first five picks, I believe, are pretty much interchangeable depending on how you want to, you know, construct your roster. But we started out for the most part pretty chalk. McCaffrey, Mahomes, Zeke Elliott, Saquon Barkley, Lamar Jackson. Like, I believe those are the consensus top five picks. And, you know, no argument with taking Elliott over Barkley. No argument with taking Barkley over Elliott. No argument for me taking Jackson over both of them. Like, I completely get it. So the first five is pretty much chalk. We didn't have a wide receiver taken in the first round. In our first round, out of the first 12 picks, seven of them were running backs. So my group went pretty heavy on the running backs, and that is a trend that continued into the second round as well. Through the first two rounds, we had 13 running backs taken total. We had one wide receiver in the two rounds. Our only wide receiver that went through the first two rounds was Michael Thomas, and he went at 2.06.
Okay.
So the guy that got Michael Thomas, he stacked Saints players. He got Alvin Kamara in the first, and then he went ahead and took Michael Thomas in the second.
Interesting. And you know, it'll be curious to see what kind of strategy works out here. Greg, what in your draft has really stood out to you, if anything?
Diversity. Drew Brees went to 105 to Eric Ollinger, which was very surprising. And then Kelsey, then Zeke. So it was very surprising and all over the place, to say the least. There's three wide receivers at the 10 and 3. Guy took Michael Thomas and took Davante Adams. Did not take a running back, tight end, or quarterback. I, at the 1-9, took Dak Prescott because I felt like he was the safest pick. I thought about Kamara or Dalvin Cook. Cook could hold out. Kamara's had injury issues. I was like, you know, I'm going to take the safer pick in Dak. And then I got Derrick Henry at the 2-4.
Okay, that's not a bad strategy whatsoever. I think even though I'm a Cowboys homer, it would have been difficult for me to pass up on Kamara there. That's a pretty tough decision, and it fortunately wasn't one that I had to make. Dak Prescott went. We had three quarterbacks go in the first five picks. Went CMC, Mahomes, Barkley, Jackson, and then Dak, which doesn't really surprise anybody. But because Dak went, it luckily allowed Kelsey to fall to me at the 1-8, and then immediately Pat Fitz hit the smash button on Kittle at the 1-9. And
I would have picked tight end if they fell to me.
Yeah, you know, that's and I was, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm one pick away from the 3-8 right now. It's currently sitting in my league at the 3-7, and Ertz just went at the 3-6. I was kind of hoping that I would be able to stack either Mark Andrews or Ertz with Kelsey and Big Russ, who I took at the 2-5. But one thing that I've just noticed on my board is that I'm one pick away, and Aaron Rodgers has still yet to be taken at the 3-8. And Rodgers, he's a big player in this because he doesn't turn the ball over, and he's very efficient. So I'm kind of surprised that he is still on the board right now. Has Rodgers been taken in all of your guys' leagues yet?
No, but we're still early on.
See, that that just kind of surprises me a little bit. People are so off of him right now.
So we're sitting at the 412. So I'm probably significantly ahead of everybody here.
You are definitely.
And Aaron Rodgers has not been taken
at the 412.
Correct.
I just why does that seem so absurd to me? You're right. He's just not getting taken in a lot of these. I'm looking through some of these other ones, and like Daniel Jones, Kirk Cousins are going before him. I don't understand.
I think a lot of it is sacks. I think a lot of it is,
yeah, he does get sacked a lot.
Is interceptions and incompletions. Like, so let's talk about quarterbacks. That's what we're doing. You would think in a super flex, a lot of quarterbacks would be going just flying off the board. I don't know how many quarterbacks you guys have had drafted in the first two rounds, but we only had 8 total. We had 3 quarterbacks in the first round, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and then I took Dak Prescott at 111, which I felt was phenomenal value. And then in the second, we had 5 quarterbacks go, which seems, you know, kind of normal. I thought about stacking both Dak and Breeze, but because my specific division was so heavy on running backs, I didn't want to get caught not having decent running backs. So I went Kenyon Drake, and then the very next pick, Drew Brees went. We had Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, and Carson Wentz fill out my second round as far as quarterbacks go.
Well, that's funny you say that, George. I got 7 so far, and I haven't finished out the second round yet. And 7 is Deshaun Watson. I'm actually looking at the ADP for Scott Fishbowl so far, and Aaron Rodgers is 42 ranked. And he goes around the 42 spot. So it sounds like your division doesn't value quarterbacks, or at least for Aaron Rodgers, as much.
I'd say we're on pick 48 right now.
So yeah, exactly.
He's starting to slip a little bit.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm just thinking that Rodgers is really going to have a bounce back this year. I think that he has a big chip on his shoulder, and the guy is still a beast. They're drafting the quarterback to replace him. I think he still has enough in the tank to really make a thing of it this year.
See, I would take him in a heartbeat in a redraft, especially in this league, but I wouldn't take him in a dynasty. I'm not sure, but unless it was much later.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he still has 3, 4, 5 years left, so he'd be a solid piece for your dynasty team, and I think you would be able to get him a little bit later. But why don't we each kind of go ahead right now and pick a couple of guys in later rounds that we're targeting, that we hope that other people are going to sleep on and we'll be able to get late. Greg, do you have someone in mind?
I don't want to give away my trade secrets. People could be listening.
That's the idea. We want to give them a reason to listen.
So there's a couple. Actually, Jimmy Garoppolo is one of them. I know I'm a homer, first off.
Secondly, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, he's a top 10 quarterback last year in the scoring format, and he has lots of disrespect. He has a great O-line, first off, so he doesn't get sacked that often. Doesn't throw a lot of picks and has a pretty decent high completion percentage.
Okay.
So he actually does pretty well. A little up and down. We talked about it before the show, a little inconsistent. But as a quarterback too, you can kind of go, I bet they're going to stuff the run. I bet Jimmy Garoppolo is going to throw the ball a lot. He's going to play against New Orleans, for instance. All right, I'm going to play Jimmy G. He's going to be great. Stuff like that. And so he's one of them. The other one is Jonnu Smith.
Okay,
the like tight that. End. Yep, tight end. And also Tyler Higbee. A lot of people are targeting tight ends early. And if you don't get one, okay, fine. Let's target one later on. And those two are definitely on my to-hit list.
On your hit list. Okay. All right. Georgie, who you got for me?
So this may sound, you know, gross. And if you want to throw up, I don't blame you. Ryan Tannehill.
Nope.
In this scoring format last year, Ryan Tannehill was quarterback number 9. So
I don't hate it either.
No, it's one of these things where these quarterbacks who always are called dinker and dunkers, this format is designed for them. That's why Greg went with Jimmy G. It's why I went with Ryan Tannehill. Teddy Bridgewater is another one. Who is he's great for just dinking and dunking. You're talking later rounds. I don't know how late of a round I want to go with this one, but I'm going to go Antonio Brown. And the reason why, and your reaction was classic, Lucas. And the reason why is if in the Scott Fishbowl, we're playing up against 1,400 other people. I believe it's 1,440 people.
Okay.
If you can get an Antonio Brown late and he signs with a team, you're going to be at a positional advantage just because he is a stud, whether you like him or not, whether, you know, yeah, you can say he took the year off. I don't care. I don't care. He is an absolute stud. He is a game changer. He's somebody I want on my team, and I will reach for him just to ensure that I have him.
Sure. Okay. That's not a bad choice whatsoever. Obviously, if he ends up with a halfway decent, if it doesn't really matter what team he ends up on, as long as he can stay on the field, he is a difference maker. And with those late round picks, that's all we're really looking for anyway.
Yeah, you gotta distinguish yourself from everybody else in this league. You can't go chalk and expect to excel. You're playing against 1,400 people. It just doesn't happen that way.
That's right.
No risk it, no biscuit.
Fallon?
Well, I've got three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if one is really considered a late round. I don't know. He's a Dolphin. It's Preston Williams.
Nice.
Ooh, I love him.
Okay. I like old Preston.
The other one is Lazard.
Lazard.
Yeah. So, you know, outside of Devontae Williams, you got to have someone to throw to, I guess. And I like Steve Sims Jr. I mean, I'm not high on Washington, but on the Redskins, or formerly known as the Redskins. But those are my three. And then I kind of like Ian Thomas, too.
Ian Thomas is definitely one of mine also. I think a guy that is getting criminally overlooked and is probably going to fall somewhere between the 10th and the 12th round is Philip Lindsay. I know Melvin Gordon is there, but Philip Lindsay, see, and that's exactly it. Philip Lindsay is a guy that could get the hot hand and throw up a 20 or a 30 spot for you and absolutely win you a week.
Yeah, but you have to feel comfortable starting him, and I don't know if you do.
What do you mean? This is how many flex positions do we have?
We got three.
Well, four with super flex.
Yeah.
You know, it's deep. He's somebody that's what you're looking for. You're looking for one of those guys in those last two flex positions that if they put up a 5 or 3, it doesn't really matter. But if they put up a 20 or a 30, it'll win you a week. So yep. Those are the kind of guys that you want in there.
I'd rather start Matt Breida over Philip Lindsay any day. Personally, because he's going to get touches more so consistently than Philip Lindsay would.
Where did he end up? He ended up down to like Miami or something like that.
Yeah, with Jordan Howard. Who can't.
Give me Jordan Howard, and that's another guy. That's another guy that gets a ton of crap is Jordan Howard. But what does he ever do other than perform on the field?
He gets you 1,000 yards every year.
Just like
he gets you 1,000 yards every year.
Give me, you know, and he's what he's probably going in like the 8th round here. Like, boy, I don't get it.
Lindsay's got 1,000 yards every year he's played.
See, and that's exactly what I'm talking about is, you know, you get these guys that they're going to put up these yards, and it leaves kind of a nasty taste in your mouth thinking about, you know, saying that you would draft them, but it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is how many points that you have, the name of the player. You gotta, you know, any bias that you have against certain players, you just gotta look at the numbers and look at the position, look at where they are and how are they likely to perform. And Breida, he's decent, but he's the running back that got cut from San Francisco when they had five of them, and they had to trade, cut. Whatever.
There's a difference. There's a huge difference.
Yeah. He got traded for a fifth round.
Same thing.
I mean, yeah, okay. You know, they needed to get rid of a running back, and they happened to get something back for one that they you know, for a position that if they couldn't get a trade done, that they probably were going to end up cutting.
So you're saying Matt Breida was actually wanted by another team. That's not a bad problem to be in.
The thing is, he was an unrestricted free agent. He was an undrafted free agent and produced and did great. Jordan Howard does not catch the ball. Matt Breida does. You want both of them. You want Jordan Howard. You want Matt Breida. You want both of them.
Yeah, there's nothing. I'm not hating on Breida, and there's only a handful of teams that are using a bell cow back anyway. So there's a lot of these teams that will have two running backs that are going to produce. I think that Miami. I kind of like where they're at. I think that they are. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think that they're going to be in enough games to produce to have fantasy relevant players. Whether or not they're going to have two running backs that are fantasy relevant every single game, like Hunt and Chubb are going to be, I don't know. But I think that Jordan Howard will be relevant more games than not.
I think they'll both be relevant. My dislike for Philip Lindsay is not for Philip Lindsay. Like, I like him. I do agree with everything you said about him. I just wanted to take a shot at Fallon.
Yeah, the Broncos, you know, they are probably the fourth best team in their division.
It's a robbery over here not to argue with all three of you. Well, actually, two of you about Philip Lindsay.
I just want to take a shot at Fallon. I know she loves the kid.
I like him a lot too, but Melvin Gordon.
Okay, Melvin Gordon's new to the team. They haven't practiced. You know, Philip Lindsay's yard after the catch, or, you know, his numbers are better than Melvin Gordon's was. And, you know, Philip Lindsay is going to continue as the head back on the Broncos. Mark my words.
I believe you. I just don't know how consistent he'll be is my problem.
He's been consistent. He's gotten over 1,000 yards both 2 years he's been playing.
Yeah, but
without Melvin Gordon.
He won't be starting this year.
No, right. Melvin Gordon is going to be the guy that's going to get the majority of the touches. But I think that the thing is that Philip Lindsay will – his talent warrants enough touches for him to still be impactful. So let's say that Philip Lindsay averages 8 to 12 touches a game. When he's not the bruiser and the defense is already tired and every single play that he comes in and touches the ball, he just absolutely explodes. That is reminiscent to me of how Alvin Kamara got his start, because they're kind of similar builds, kind of similar speeds. Obviously, I'm not saying that Lindsay is Kamara. Kamara is his own entity in terms of a type of player that he is, but there are comparables there. And at that time, you had Mark Ingram and Peterson on the team. And they would come in, and they would be the ones that would run between the tackles, and the defense would be tired, and then Kamara would touch the ball, and all of a sudden he's in the end zone. He just appears there. And so I think that if they were to use Lindsay in that fashion, to where let's say that they get him 180, 200 touches on the season, he can't not, you know, if he's averaging 5 yards a touch, that's a very useful player. Given where he's going, he's going to outproduce many running backs that are going several rounds before him.
Well, I see him more as a more dynamic James White.
Yeah, I just don't see them as similar play styles, to be honest. James White is very much I see James White more of a comparable to like kind of Austin Eckler. They're very much there when a play breaks down, and they're kind of the check down. Last resort receiving option. Lindsay is somebody that they're really just trying to let him just get into space, and he's just a burner.
All right, we really really need to stop the Philip Lindsay talk. I'm starting to get a little nauseous.
Okay.
Let's do this. Let's go back to what we're going to be talking about here, the Scott Fishbowl. Got a question for you guys. Looking back to the first two rounds. Did you have a strategy coming in, and did your strategy change on the fly? And if so, how did it change? What did you do? What made your strategy change?
So I didn't really have a strategy. I was really just I was picking from the 1-8, and I had seven players that if any of them fell to me, I was going to pick them. And Kelsey ended up being the one that fell, and I just went from there, and then I knew that that Russell Wilson was a quarterback that I really liked, and if he fell to me in the second, that's who I wanted. So I, you know, really just got exactly what I wanted. One of the top seven that were on my board to fall to me at eight, and then hopefully Russ was there on the when it flipped back around. So, yeah, it is my pick now at the 3-8. Todd Gurley was just selected at the 3-7. So I am now going to let Greg take over and talk about his strategy while I do a little bit of research here.
That's smart. I had the strategy of picking a quarterback or a running back in the first, possibly a tight end if they fell to me. I'm at the 1-9, so I wasn't confident it was going to happen, and it didn't. So I was torn between Kamara and Dak from the get-go, and I decided to go the safer route because I knew more than likely a running back was going to fall to me to the 2-4. And so I'm glad I did because I drafted Derrick Henry, who I may not be high on him in Dynasty, but in redraft, I think he'll still produce again this year. My strategy so far has worked out well.
Nice. How about you, Fallon?
Well, my strategy was one of the top tight ends, so I like the premium. And I was lucky enough that Kittle fell to me, so I got him. And then I was torn between Dak and Henry, and Dak was taken, so my second pick, my 2.4 pick, was made for me, so I went with Derrick Henry.
See, I'm super jealous of both of you, because it sounds like Derrick Henry went in the second round, and you both had opportunities to grab him. In my division, Derrick Henry went at 109.
Wow.
So I had four targets that I wanted. And I'd have been happy with any of these four. It would have been Kelce, which I didn't think was realistic, but that's like drafting at the 111. I didn't think it was realistic, but Kelce was my best case, you know, scenario. After that, I wanted Kittle. Then after that, I wanted Dalvin Cook, who I thought was possible given the holdout situation.
Yeah.
And then Derrick Henry. So the jerk at 107 took Kelce. The butthead at 108 took Kittle. The penis wrinkle at 109 took Derrick Henry. And the slap dick at 110 took Dalvin Cook.
We're going to need some editing here.
Nope. Nope.
No, please don't.
Nope. They pissed me off. They've been sniping me for two damn rounds now. So they went Kelce, Kittle, Henry, Cook on me. And so I've done, you know, probably about 15 mock drafts. In exactly zero of these mock drafts did I take a quarterback in the first round. So I was looking at the running backs available because I know running backs are valuable. But like I said, we had seven running backs go in the first round of my draft. So I did want Dak. Typically, he had been going in the second. I didn't feel confident I'd get him at the 202. So I took him at the 111, and then the guy right after me took the – I had two running backs I was looking at. Okay, maybe one will fall to me at 202. No, he went Mixon and Chubb, and that left me with, as I mentioned earlier in the show, with Kenyon Drake in the second round.
So that guy doesn't get a name?
No, because he doesn't. But the other guys, yes, they absolutely earned their name. And the slap dick at 110, that was pick a 10 overall, not only did he snipe Dalvin Cook on me, which really irked me, and then he got me to go full tilt in the third round. So in the third round, I was looking to see who's coming back, and I was like, all right, I have my eyes on Todd Gurley. If I could get Gurley in the third round, at the end of the third round, I would be ecstatic. Yeah, no, that bastard took him right before me in the third round as well.
Mm. Well, just to make you more jealous, I had the choice between Cook and Henry.
Yeah, it
really like, Fallon?
Yeah.
So
it was Cook and Henry were there, and I just went Henry because I don't know. I mean, I love Dalvin Cook. It's just his injury, and he might be holding out, and COVID, and all of that. I just went Henry.
He just said no.
So that illustrates, though, how dynamic these leagues are. Like, every single one of these leagues are different. I got a message from a guy on Twitter earlier. Of all the leagues that we have, and there's well over 100 leagues, only two leagues started out with Dak Prescott and Kenyon Drake out of all the leagues.
Jeez.
Yeah. So if you've never been in the Scott Fish Bowl, it is, as we mentioned earlier, it's something to behold. It is literally dubbed, and rightfully so, the Super Bowl of fantasy football. Scott is actually accepting entries right now into Scott Fish Bowl 11. I've already signed up. I signed up a few days ago, and I was signed up number 1,984. So he's already got more people signed up for next year than as many spots as he has for this year. So if you want to sign up, go to scottfishbowl.com. There is a link to sign up. Go ahead and sign up. Maybe you'll get in. Maybe you won't. Luck of the draw. But yeah, it just showing the dynamics of how every draft is different. You know, guys that I drafted in mocks are just not there for the real thing.
I think we should also, George, I'm sorry for your pain, by the way, but I think we should also acknowledge someone else's pain, Chris's pain and his draft.
I take pleasure in that pain, but please, Greg, why don't you elaborate on that and explain why we're taking such joyous festivus in Chris's pain?
I love your vocabulary, man. It's just beautiful. He's still in the first round, halfway through the first round. If I remember last checking with a 106, right? Day one. And this happened to him again last year in a Scott Fish Bowl.
Isn't he Tinker Toys?
Yes, I think so.
No, I messaged Chris. We will hopefully we can get an update by the end of the show to find out exactly where Chris is at. I'm not sure if I want to tell him or not. I believe my draft is
111.
Oh, they're almost out the first round.
Oh, wow. Well, they're screaming.
Congratulations. They're on a roll. We are at 503. And I feel like we should let Chris know I'm at 503.
Do it.
I'm pretty happy with us being in the third round here.
So for those listening, we like to harass Professor Chris. It is absolutely nothing but love, but we do take a lot of joy in his pain and sorrow with regards to being stuck in a very slow-moving draft for the Scott Fish Bowl.
Well, I'm not too much ahead of him because we're only at the 2.05, so only a few picks ahead.
I'm at the 2.10. So hopefully. Soon.
Lucas, you said you were on the clock. Did you get a chance to make your pick?
I am, I'm having difficulty with this, with who I'm wanting to select here. I got a few guys that I'm eyeing, and
so who do you have on your team so far?
So far I have Kelsey, and I have Big Russ.
Okay.
And now we're at the 3.8. And the top running backs that are available to me at the moment are Aaron Jones and Leonard Fournette.
Okay.
And Melvin Gordon, which we've already talked about.
Yeah.
Kind of more of a fan, I'd rather take Lindsay late there in that situation. I think I'm gonna wait on a second quarterback. There's several that I like. For tight ends, Ertz was just taken, so I was going to double down on tight ends, but there's some tight ends I like later. So now it's kind of looking between wide receivers and running backs. And the wide receivers that are available are Cooper Kupp and Odell, Kenny G, Juju, both of the Tampa Bay wide receivers, which I'm just not – I just don't know what to do with them right now because I'm not sure how much faith that I really have in Brady as a gunslinger.
So, and that's something I feel like we should talk about a little bit. Like all these new players going to new teams are going to have an effect with not having OTAs, possibly no preseason.
Yep.
You know, no off-season workout, no mini camps. Like all these rookies coming in, I don't think it's going to affect the running backs nearly as much as it's going to affect the wide receivers. I think the wide receivers are going to be tremendously behind the eight ball. I'm not putting trust in any of the rookie wide receivers in the Scott Fishbowl this year. I just think they're going to be way behind the eight ball as far as being productive. So I'm trying to avoid them. The running backs, some of them I don't mind taking. Some I just plain out don't like, so I won't take them. I think they're being way overdrafted. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if you're wondering who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. George, yep. We were all aware of your hatred.
Yes. Yeah. I have to let it be known on every podcast. I need to be consistent. And then this way when people start drafting him in redraft and they spend a third round pick on him and he does absolutely nothing for them, they can look back and say, well, you know, this guy was literally on every show saying, don't draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I didn't listen, and I probably should have.
In redraft, that's fair. I don't typically ever target rookies in redraft because you never know what's going to happen. You can have a freaking Terry McLaurin who God knows where he came from.
Out of nowhere.
Exactly. And so draft people you know.
Well, the other biggest issue that Fallon kind of already touched on here with the rookies is that we're in the middle of COVID. They're not able to get in the adjustment from college to going into the NFL, getting on the same page as everyone else on the team, learning the playbook. And, you know, you say, okay, for a running back, like, okay, they need to figure out their blocking assignments and they need to know if they need to go left or right. You know, that talent's kind of going to win out. But there's been a lot of hype from the coaches. There's been coach speak about Damian Williams. And if you just think that this guy's going to come in as a rookie and just take everything over, I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be kind of a 50-50 split that he, by the end of the season, that he's going to have to work his way into because of all of these things that are happening.
Completely agree. If you look, so if you're analytical, and I'm not super analytical, I more trust film, but I have a lot of friends who are analytical and I lean on them heavily. One of the things that the first thing they're quick to point out is like Edwards-Helaire, and I hate to go back to him, but I'm just going to keep beating my drum on him. You know, dude's only 5'7". He comps out to Chase Edmonds. Damian Williams is 5'10". His metrics all across the board are better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And like I said, he's 5', I think he's 5'11". And he's the incumbent. He knows the offense. He knows the scheme. He knows the plays. I mean, it's just he knows everything about that. He should have been the Super Bowl MVP. Like, I don't know why people are just quick to, in a redraft format, to write off Damian Williams like, you know, he's no longer there. Yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was drafted in the first round, but so was Rashard Penny. So was C.J. Spiller. So was Trent Richardson. So was Sony Michel. Like, let's not get so focused in on draft capital because it's been known to bust in the past.
It still matters, though, George.
It does. Absolutely does. Absolutely it does. And if there wasn't I consider Damian Williams a good running back. He's not great. He's not special. But in that offense where he is not the focal point of the offense, he is a good player. I just don't see a rookie coming in and supplanting him, especially right away, but maybe even the first season, the first year with all the
COVID.
With all the COVID and the lack of opportunities to get in there and train and whatnot.
George, you brought up a very sore topic about the Super Bowl. Let's not talk about the Super Bowl. Okay.
I apologize.
who won the Super Bowl this year?
Hey. Let's not talk about it.
Actually, I think the question is who did not win the Super Bowl? That's what we should be asking.
You dick.
We know it wasn't the Patriots, so I'm happy.
Hey, that's a win right there. That's a win.
That is a win in itself. I think we can all be happy about that.
Fallon, do you have any takes on the rookies coming in? Is there anything that concerns you?
They all concern me, really. I mean, I'm not really high on taking any of them right now because of, like we were talking about, there's been no OTAs, there's been no camps, there's only so much you can do virtually. I really am not high on them. I have some questions about even the second years. You know, I mean, you got more experience in the rookies. Like, I'm wondering about Waller and if he was a one-year wonder or whatnot.
So Waller, he's not a second year player. He's been in the league for a couple of years. The issue,
he's almost 30, isn't he?
Yeah. The issue with him has been narcotics. Like he's been an abuser.
It's been personal issues.
Yeah, he's been an abuser of various substances, and that's been his downfall. Good thing he has cleaned up his life. Josh Gordon could learn something from him. I'm sorry?
Do you think he's coming back, Josh Gordon?
Yeah, I think he'll be back. He applied for reinstatement. I think they'll let him back in. And I don't think he'll get suspended again now that the NFL has lightened his stance on the drug abuse.
I just think he has some self-destructive tendencies.
Lots.
So I actually don't think that we're ever going to see Josh Gordon as we knew him back. Even if there's a jersey on the field that says Josh Gordon, we're never seeing Josh Gordon again.
No.
He's a decoy at this point. That's all.
Rookies, I might grab them late round or off waivers, but I'm not reaching for any of them. Marlon Mack's not going anywhere this year. I'd take him over Taylor any day. All the other guys, I'm just because of how weird this year is, I just can't go rookies in redraft.
I could go JT later over Marlon Mack personally, but not in the first five rounds, I'd say.
So I have three rookies that are all running backs that I absolutely love, and I have no problem drafting them in a redraft format. It just I won't draft them early. And they are Cam Akers, DeAndre Swift, and Jonathan Taylor. I agree with Fallon with regards to Marlon Mack. I don't think Jonathan Taylor's coming in day one to get that role. But we do have to realize that Marlon Mack is literally just a guy. Like, I have so much Marlon Mack in so many dynasty leagues, it's disgusting. But
I'm sorry, George.
That's okay. it happens to all of us. Like I
sold all my shares this off season.
No, I should have. I should have sold them last season. I didn't. That's on me. It's fine. I'm happy with them this year. After that, they will be worthless, and I'm not going to be able to get anything for them this year, minus a big injury. But I think ultimately Jonathan Taylor is more talented than Marlon Mack, and I think it's going to be it's going to be a slow takeover for Jonathan Taylor. I think Cam Akers should honestly be the starting running back in Los Angeles day one. And I think DeAndre Swift, who I had personally as my number one rookie running back coming out, I think he should be the starting running back in Detroit day one.
I'm a Kerryon Johnson fan. Always have been. He's a really good overall back, kind of like a name escapes me right now. But I've always been a fan. He just can't stay healthy. But I do agree. Swift is better back. I still enjoy Kerryon Johnson. I don't think he's a jag. I think he's something.
I think
has played a full year without injury.
No, that's my problem. He's injury prone.
Yep.
I'm not denying that.
I think he's a good secondary running back.
Yeah.
I don't think he I don't think he's ever going to be a true three down workhorse running back. Like, he's not built for that.
Yep.
And I don't think Swift is either, but I think together, like, that's a really good 1-2 punch.
Absolutely. Lucas, you got any rookies you're going to target?
In terms of the rookies, there's really not anybody that I like Cam Akers, and I'm a fan of CeeDee Lamb.
Of course. That's
my boy.
Of course you are.
Shocker.
You know, he's a stud. It's more of just what is his opportunity really going to be there with Amari and Blake Jarwin soaking up some targets and Gallup obviously being there and coming, hopefully coming into his own. I assume that they're going to be running CD out of, CD touchdown, CD TD out of the slot, but, the slot receivers end up running a lot of the same routes and similar routes, and at least being in the same part of the field as what the tight ends are. And there's a lot of projection for Blake Jarwin to really take a step forward this year. So in terms of the rookies, there's you know, there's some guys that I like for the future. I like AJ Dillon out of Boston College. I think he's a beast. You don't like him?
Greg, what the
you don't like him?
I hope.
You know you love it, George.
You know, the guy runs like a 4.5 and he's a monster.
Yeah, well, his tape doesn't show that against actually good competition. So therefore I don't like him.
You know, I mean, he takes more than one guy to bring him down. He doesn't get brought down in the backfield very often. I think that, but he's also behind Aaron Jones, so I don't really know what kind of work that he's going to get. But C-Met for the Chicago, for the Bears, the tight end, he's a monster. I was actually talking with JM about him a little bit, and that's just wasn't a great landing spot. There's a lot of spots that he could have landed that he would have been impactful year one. He would have been a guy that possibly was going, you know, in this format. Had he been on a better team that was tight end needy, he would probably be in the conversation for going in the first five rounds in the Scott Fishbowl.
But the Bears aren't tight end needy, obviously. They keep adding them.
I said the Bears do not need tight ends. They've got 10 of them on their team. Right?
I mean,
they don't need any more.
Bert,
why do they keep adding them then?
I don't know. It blows my mind as to why they're doing it. But Burton, and you know, it was just like with Dallas Goedert when the Philadelphia Eagles took him when they have Ertz. That just kind of blew my mind also. But I'm pretty sure that the reason that they did that was to play keep away from the Cowboys.
Oh, it was
100%. Well, ladies and gentlemen, do we have anything else that we want to talk about, or should we wrap this segment up as Scott Fishbowl?
We need to know who you pick, Lucas. We got to walk you through this pick here.
Yeah, so I ended up going with Aaron Jones.
Okay, so you made the pick.
That's a good pick.
You know, I expect there to be some touch. You know, I was looking at the wide receivers there, and there's a lot of wide receivers that I really like. And the way I'm thinking about it is one of them is going to come back around to me, and if they you know, but what I really want to do is go Aaron Jones and then James Conner if he comes back around to me at the 4-5. But it's tough. It's going to be tough to pass up on some of these wide receivers because I really like Cooper Kupp. I really like Kenny Golladay, which was still there. So he was actually difficult for me not to snag. Both of the Tampa wide receivers are there. Juju's still there. Adam Thielen is there. I don't know how we've all forgotten about him, and there's no Stephon Diggs there now.
Love him.
So there's just a ton. DJ Moore.
Wide receiver is so deep in the Scott Fishbowl.
It is, and they're all being pushed into the late rounds. So I'm just kind of punting.
What's that sound?
Well, it is nice because we do have to play three wide receivers on. So but it's nice that there are so many that with so much talent, like Thielen, people are forgetting about him, and I want to scoop him up and, you know, play him where I can.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he's a reception first down monster too.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So Lucas, just so you know, in my draft, 4-6 is where Connor went.
4-6. Okay. 4-6. Well, I'm at the 4-5, and you know, Connor is a guy that when he was having his big run the year that Le'Veon was holding out, you know, everyone was super high on Connor, and I saw these things coming out like, okay, is it time to have the discussion for James Connor to be in the discussion amongst the elites? And I'm like, you know, he's doing really well, but when you watch him play, like, he's not that good. He's not that level of good. He's not elite talent good. He's playing behind one of the best O-lines. They are really, as a team, unifying and wanting to prove something, you know, to kind of everyone, to Le'Veon Bell, that they can establish the run without it. And, you know, I was all about that. And then, but then everyone was so, you know, they were so all over James Conner. But now it's like everyone is so off of him. And I feel like there's a middle ground with James Conner. You know, he's not a first rounder, but he's not a fourth or fifth rounder either. Like, this guy, he's a third round running back. He's a guy that's going to get the ball a lot on a pretty offensive heavy team. And I don't know why the industry is just like, you know,
it's because
this roller coaster ride with James Conner where they can't just let him be where he is, it's, where he needs to be.
It's because they've drafted a rookie, and we all are looking at a shiny new toy against somebody who was injured the year before and had
he had an ankle sprain.
But he was injured. He missed a couple games, and he had the likes of Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph at quarterback. So
yeah, he was
facing stacked boxes. So like their defenses were literally daring the quarterback. So like, we're going to put 9 in the box. Mason Rudolph, Duck Hodges, beat me if you can.
Yeah. Well, and as a skill position player, wide receiver, tight end, running back, whatever. As soon as Ben Roethlisberger went down, I'm going to get injured for a few games too. You know what I'm saying? I think I'm going to find a way to get off the field because that season is going nowhere.
Yeah, completely agree.
So, out of curiosity, we want to answer this question. Just more something I'm thinking about is who are we going to be targeting next? Like, who are you hoping to fall to you in the third round? Do we want to answer that question for some of us, or for George would be what, the fifth round now for you, George?
I don't mind sharing. So real quick, Lucas, what you're looking at as far as running backs at 4-6, these are the guys that went in my fourth round. Mark Ingram, I took him at 402. Leonard Fournette, 403. Connor, 4-6. Chris Carson, 4-9. Kareem Hunt, 4-10. David Johnson, 4-11. Mostert, 5-2. So those are the type of running backs you're looking in that range. And I feel like after David Johnson, because he could hit. And at 4-11, getting David Johnson, if he hits, like that's going to be huge. There's a huge drop-off after him. Guys that I am looking at to draft next, I want to go running back, and I honestly believe if Swift and Akers are there, I will grab two more running backs, and I will take the two rookies, Swift and Akers, in the fifth round at 5-11 and then 6-02.
Okay. Yep. And so now the question is it at a point where you're looking to double down on a tight end yet?
I thought about that. The only tight ends that have gone is Mark Andrews, Kittle, Kelsey, and Ertz. Those are the only those are the only ones that are gone. I've got Ertz. So I'm set. At least I feel set. At my tight end position, I like having Ertz. I think he's in for another above average year, and I will absolutely take that, especially in this format. The level of tight end that is there are decent tight ends. You got like Evan Ingram, Hunter Henry,
Waller.
Waller is still there. So those guys, I'm thinking about it, but. It would have to be if those two running backs are gone. If those two running backs are gone, then I've got to make a decision. Do I go get my first wide receiver, or do I double down on tight end, or do I even take another quarterback? Because quarterbacks are starting to go as well. But there are a couple of ones that I do like. Give me one second. I will tell you the quarterbacks that are still available for me to choose from. So – Aaron Rodgers is still on the board. Goff, Tannehill, Rivers, Stafford, Newton, who is somebody I actually like in this format, and I like him a lot in this format. Derek Carr, who I absolutely love in this format. Joe Burrow, Jimmy Garoppolo, Gardner Minshew, Sam Darnold. Not so thrilled with Ryan Fitzpatrick or Tyrod Taylor, but then I can go Big Ben, Drew Locke. Teddy Bridgewater, who I think is an absolute stud in this format.
Absolutely.
So there are guys that are still there. Tua, who I think will start by the end of the year. Marcus Mariota, who I think will end up starting by the end of the year. A quarterback is still a little deep. I only plan on drafting two quarterbacks. Let me throw that out there as well.
Interesting.
I will not draft three quarterbacks. Unless I take my third one super late, and it would have to be somebody like a Matt, like a Tua or, you know, somebody who I think has a chance at starting. But yep. I won't draft three starting quarterbacks. I will not do it. I only plan on starting one quarterback. I took Dak, and I will ride him all year long. I only need one quarterback for the bye week. So, that is how I plan on playing this year. I'm only drafting two total quarterbacks unless I get somebody super late.
That's fair. You know, and I'm sitting here. So, I like all these wide receivers that are about to come back to me, and if the running backs are there. But then I'm also looking at, you know, if Rodgers is there at the – I just like Rodgers a lot. But then also, what about like a Darren Waller? Has he gone already? You said he hasn't.
I will double check. I do not believe he has been drafted.
I would use George League as credible source for ADP. Just saying.
No, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't use any of these leagues as credible source. So I still have Jerry Cook, Austin Hooper, Evan Ingram, Gronkowski, Waller, Hunter Henry, Blake Jarwin, Higby, Hayden Hurst, Jack Doyle, who I think is criminally undervalued, Ian Thomas, who I think is criminally undervalued, Dallas Goedert, Fant, you know, Gesicki.
Fant. Love Fant.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
So
you're welcome, Fallon. That's my Broncos love for you.
Waller is that if, you know, the Raiders happen to be, you know, below 50% at their bye, because I think they have the bye in seventh week, and they don't have a winning record, Gruden will pull Carr and put in Mariota and just kind of set something up. I think
that's a good thing.
I think that's a good thing, to be honest.
Mariota loved Delanie Walker.
Yep.
Loved Delanie Walker.
Yeah, Mariota loved throwing to his tight ends.
But it goes back to the point of the lack of chemistry and no OTAs practice, though. I mean, maybe I'm putting too much emphasis on that. I don't know. It just has me concerned.
It's definitely something. You shouldn't downplay it. Like, it's definitely something.
I'm
looking up the ADP for all Scott Fishbowl on here for Darren Waller, and it's 52. That's where he's generally going. That's the ADP. Yep. So he might be going sooner, but for the most part, 52.
That makes sense. That's beginning of the fifth round.
Yeah, rank wise. ADP is 31.
Whose ADP is 31?
Sorry, 31 is Hayden Hurst, which is weird. Hayden Hurst is going 34 overall, tight end 5.
Okay,
so seriously,
Waller.
I'm thinking like ahead. Maybe how many people have drafted Hayden Hurst?
Why would you?
And I fully agree, but I think his ADP is inflated by maybe a
couple people,
one
taking
or two
him.
People who have drafted him.
Yeah,
yeah. The why I think that we can answer relatively simple, just because of the year that Austin Hooper had last year. Hayden Hurst has high draft capital from 2 years ago, and then
different team.
I mean, it is. He has high draft capital, and then now he comes to the Falcons and replaces Hooper, which Ryan just had that connection with, and then also Ryan in the offseason has been talking up Hayden Hurst, saying how much of a freak athlete he is. Blah 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 blah.
To be fair, Calvin Ridley should be the one we're targeting the crap out of, because when Hooper was gone, Ridley went through the freaking roof. He was killing it. Fallon's right about this specifically, about Hayden Hurst going to Atlanta. New player, COVID, bad things. Next year might be different.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the route tree for tight ends is pretty simple. And that if, you know, as a freak athlete, which that's kind of how they're describing him, that I don't think that it's too big of an issue. I think that it'll affect rookie quarterbacks. I think it'll affect rookie wide receivers the most.
What do you think, Fallon?
You know, in this case, I think I actually like Hayden Hurst over Hooper. If they're both next to each other, I had to choose between the two, I'd go Hurst over Hooper, because I don't like him in I think I don't like him in Cleveland.
Well, there's just so many mouths to feed there. There are so many people, and Njoku's still there, and you have, you know, it's like, you know, how many offensive plays can they run? It's like they you know, you have Landry, you have Odell, you have Njoku, you have Hooper, you have Hunt.
And Atlanta have the same problem.
You have Chubb, and, you know, they can only distribute the ball so much. You know, great problem to have.
Right. That's why I would go with Hurst over in Atlanta. I also kind of like, what's the third guy that, Gage? Isn't that, I don't know. I'm liking him kind of a late guy. You know, just in case any injury, isn't it Russell Cage?
Russell Gage.
Yeah, he's a slot.
Yeah, I just missed what you said. Yep. I just don't know that there's,
he's a late round insurance policy case. You know, Julio gets hurt. I mean, I just also, not to be a Debbie Downer, but with the COVID, the lack of practice, I mean, that's been one of the things for injuries with the last CBAs. They have not had as much practices, so you're seeing more injuries. So I'm wondering if we're going to have more injuries this year or people going down with COVID. You may need to have more, you know, backups.
So let me tell you guys a quick little thing. You guys will love it, okay? You know how earlier this morning when the Scott Fishbowl first kicked off, one of the guys accidentally drafted Matt Barkley instead of Saquon Barkley at the 102, right?
Yeah.
So for those that don't know, somebody actually drafted Matt Barkley at 102 instead of Saquon Barkley. Well, it was corrected, which rightfully so it should have been. That was, you could tell that was an honest mistake. Like, he just grabbed the wrong Barkley. What
happened twice?
No,
he was so excited.
The first time was an accident. The second time was not. The second time was more along the lines of somebody tweeted out that if you draft Matt Barkley in the first round and you make the playoffs, I will pay you $100. So that's why the second Matt Barkley was drafted in the first round.
But $100 is not enough. If someone said 10 grand, then absolutely. I am 100% giving that a shot.
Yes. But the guy that drafted Matt Barkley, I give him all the props in the world. He's 100% owning it. So he changed the banner on his Twitter account to Matt Barkley 1.02, and in the O, it's got the Scott Fishbowl. And then it's got a picture of Matt Barkley there. And Matt Barkley tweeted to him something along the lines of "That's my boy, keeping the faith," and a little fist up.
Isn't he like the backup of the Bills?
Yeah. So
yes.
So Matt Barkley, the like third string running back for the Bills, tweeted.
Running back?
Is he a running back or is he a quarterback?
Quarterback.
Okay, quarterback. My mistake. He tweeted at Ennis the Menace 1, shout out to my guy with a little fist, LOL. And then the guy that accidentally picked him said, thanks, Saquon. Now go out there and rush for 1,210 touchdowns. So they're having fun with it. Matt Barkley is in on it, and he's loving it. That's as well. Awesome. And this is the type of stuff that the Scott Fishbowl does. Like, you could just see some crazy stuff happen and people having so much fun with it.
So back to the question, George, I love that. That's awesome. I didn't know anything about that, by the way. I wanted to say that. So back to the question, for me, I'm hoping a tight end falls to me at the 3-9 or the 4-4. Either Ertz or Andrews or Waller or Ingram from the 4-4. So that's what I'm hoping to fall to me. I doubt it, but hoping.
I think you'll get Ertz. Or not Ertz. Well, you might get Ertz.
Might.
Yeah, I was shocked he fell to the 3-11. At the 3-11, I pretty much smashed pick because I was not expecting to get him that late. But you'll definitely get like an Evan Ingram. Waller should be there. Those second, like, I think the cutoff between the tier of the tight ends is Ertz and then they've got their second tier. I for sure think that those second tier tight ends will be there for you.
Yeah, Waller and because I fear of missing out for that 15, 16 picks. So I feel like Waller and Ingram are good for 4 picks and not reaching too hard. How about you, Lucas? What are you thinking about targeting at the 4-5?
Yeah, at the 4-5, kind of what I had thought going here would be I have a couple tight ends that I'm going to target, but I think that I'm more looking at that in the 5th round. So I'm going to lean possibly James Conner, but then also I'm going to consider real heavily one of these wide receivers if they were to fall to me. Kenny Golladay would be probably my favorite to fall, and then close behind, you know, like I said, these other guys, Juju, Cooper Kupp, Adam Thielen. I think I'd be happy with any of those guys. Juju was another one that last year there's a lot of guys that just couldn't, you know, they're like, I'm going to need to lower my projections because there's no way that I can't take Juju as my number one wide receiver. And I understand Big Ben gets hurt, all that, blah, blah, blah. But now you fast forward a year, Big Ben is back saying that he feels better about throwing the ball than he has in the last 5 years. You still have Juju. What else has changed? Why are these same people not all over Juju again this year, now that everything's back to exactly how it was? And so now everyone's way off of Juju. Why is he not like a third, you know, like targeted pretty heavily in like the 3rd round? Why does he have to go from he needs to be in a top 3 wide receiver discussion to going as like the 15th wide receiver off the board? Because not that much has changed. Where's that middle ground? Rant over.
That was a good question, to be fair.
For me, I'm just watching, as since we've been talking, there's been a lot of picks going on. And running back, so I started a nice running back run. And Josh Jacobs just went at 2.10. So I'm hoping. What I want to get is my quarterback when it comes back around at the 3.10, because I'm a little nervous, and especially in Superflex. So I want a good running back. I mean, a good quarterback. Then I think I'm going to see running back, wide receiver, play it kind of by ear. But I'm just hoping for one of the top quarterbacks. That's my. My strategy is like, you know, I kind of plan it out early and then I wing it and I still do good. So
it's not a bad strategy.
No, it's good.
Well, Fallon, George, and Greg, I appreciate all of you for jumping on and talking a little bit of Scott Fishbowl and just BSing on some fantasy football. This has been quite an enjoyable time. I miss football. We're all praying that this football season is going to happen. You know, I think that we should just give all the NFL players COVID right now. And so by the time that football season rolls around, they're all going to be good to go. And we won't have to worry about any of them getting it during the season.
Just have Zeke run from locker room to locker room, just licking everybody.
Yeah. I actually heard Zeke for that reason, because he's like, you know, Zeke already got it. So I know I've got him all year. So that was actually the rationale for someone picking Zeke.
And something else that I actually heard today was that they now believe that COVID is a blood infection rather than a respiratory infection.
Really?
And and that's why it affects so many people differently, and not everyone actually gets the respiratory issues from it, is because it's in the blood and it attacks a lot of different parts of the body. But so
blood does go through the lungs, and why some people get it and some people don't.
And then other people have other organ failures, and other people have, you know, different rant, you know, some athletes that get it, they just kind of feel achy.
That's weird.
My cousin got it and he lost his taste and all that, and he's recovered, but he still is having problems with the respiratory. And I mean, he's barely 40. And he just feels like he's got punched in the chest a few times, and it's real hard for him in the respiratory part, but the rest of him's fully recovered. He got it way back in March.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody that's got it. I don't wish that anybody does get it, but if you do get it, stay the hell away from me.
Damn straight. I'm actually quarantined currently because a student at my academy I work at had it, so I have to stay home because my wife's a little more susceptible to death because of it. So,
okay, well, we will keep all of these people in our thoughts. And you guys, I'd love to here in a couple of days, I would like for us to jump on and maybe do another round of this and see how all of our different divisions have progressed, and see this will be where things start opening up, and you see some players will be going in the fourth round that end up going in the eighth round, and that's when these things really start to get interesting.
But before we go, I just want to let everybody know that I'm letting Professor Chris know we're about to go into the sixth round.
Rub it in, George. Rub it in.
We'll see if he's made the turn yet. And you can find me on Twitter at SleeperWireLBB. George, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitter at BFTGPod.
Greg?
You find me at DinoMechanic on Twitter.
And Fallon?
You can find me at FF_JustAGirl.
All right. Well, that about wraps us up. Thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you soon.